Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. It's episode 4. I'm joined, as always, by Carlton historian, Tony DeBolfo.
Greetings, Tony. Episode 4, that would be episode O'Brien, if memory serves, I think. But, you know, the great man S. Kernahan does come to mind when we talk all things 4, doesn't he?
What about the name Luke Livingston? Come on.
Lukey
Aaron
boy.
Hamill?
And a father recently, I believe, Luke Livingston.
Oh, really?
Lovely,
well
you
done.
Know. The boy from Kerrang, all power to you, Luke, great man, and often seen in the Carlton rooms, so he still comes back and still loves the place. All power to you, Luke, and good luck with fatherhood.
Indeed, yeah, it's a hell of a journey.
It is.
You know about that, of course, yourself, Tone, both the official and unofficial fatherhoods that you've been through. But let's not dwell on that.
Yes.
Now, Tone, wow. Wow.
What do you say, Tony? Was it disappointing?
It was. Well, what was disappointing was having, well, look, the promise that was showed in round one, obviously, and, you know, the fluid play, the effort, the rate of effort, the commitment, and then I'm sure you would agree, and anyone listening who was actually at the game, I'm pretty sure I knew from the first minute.
Well, that's a fair call, Tony, and you can tell, can't you, early in games quite often whether the team is on or not. And I think what really was annoying was that if you looked at the Gold Coast North game in Cairns the previous week where they played in the lake, and you would have thought that the toll that took on both teams may have been telling the following week. And yet North Melbourne came out and absolutely pantsed St Kilda.
Yeah.
And, of course, the same thing happened with the Suns away to our boys at Etihad. So it was bitterly disappointing. But as you say, you know, the die was cast pretty early in the piece.
I do want to say that I should say this more often than I do. Congratulations to Gold Coast. They were really on.
They were on
from the word go. They were a really well-drilled unit.
They were.
They were hard at it. They gave Lynch plenty of ball. And as we know, he is just lethal.
Well, he is. He did not miss. And I think you've articulated pretty well, Tony. The Suns were definitely on song. And the Carlton players were the hunted, the great hunted. And they were put under enormous pressure from the first bounce and really had difficulty dealing with it. I mean, I don't think we actually broke through until Cripps scored, you know, the second half of the first quarter.
Yeah.
But it was one-way traffic for a long period of time. And Tony, the what was frustrating mostly were the turnovers by hand and foot that really cost us. And I would say, Tone, I put down probably five of Lynch's goals to turnovers created by our misuse of the footy.
This wasn't a sin committed just by the younger players or players who have played 50 games.
No.
The on-field leadership as far as unforced errors went, you know, the plaudits belong. And, you know, I'm not whacking these guys for the sake of it. I'm just saying, you know, Simo and Murph were up there.
Well, they were. They were. And it always amazes me, you know, when you've got fellows that, you know, are at the elite level playing the game that, you know, can't hit a target perhaps 15, 20 metres away just with a deft little pass by foot or a give by hand. But that's, I suppose, the pressure that's created, you know, if a team is really, really on song, as you said, Gold Coast was. So all power to the Suns. They've got a good group that seem to be very well drilled and I'm sure, you know, Carlton will take much away from it. And as we know, Tony, the beauty of this game is that we have the next game to atone. And let's hope we do atone with interest this week.
We just have to. We will preview that game in a minute, Tone. But one thing it did highlight for me was the importance of structures. And if you take Levi Casbolt out of that structure and put him into the ruck. Now, we know he's not a natural ruckman. We know that he just happens to be tall. And that definitely messed with things. And again, you don't want to be the club that kind of falls over because you're relying on one crucial player. And when that player's not playing, everything goes out the window.
It's so very true, Tony. And I think what this has brought focus to is the importance in this day and age of the ruckman. Now, the ruckman have been much maligned, but if you saw the game on Monday, the Geelong Hawthorn game, where McAvoy absolutely dominated proceedings in the event that Geelong were without or bereft of a recognised number one ruckman in opposition.
Yeah.
Now, Carlton felt the pinch in the second half of the Richmond match when, you know, Cruz was battling that groin complaint. Yeah. And unfortunately, his withdrawal prior to the Gold Coast game meant, as you said, that Levi was forced to take following duties. I mean, that then in turn put pressure on Jakob Vietering that was, you know, he's trying to regain confidence and would find it particularly difficult to do so given he's been chopped and changed.
Yes, pillar to post.
Pillar to post. We didn't have Phillips and Lobb available either.
Is that? Because neither are fit?
Oh, that's right. Both are getting back from injury. I think both may have played in the reserve grade game. I don't swear to that. I think one of them did. So unfortunately, at the time they just weren't available for selection. And I think with this group that we've got, if any one player is for whatever reason unavailable, then our depth is sorely being tested, and we need them all up and running, Tone, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, let's look at the highlights, such as they were, in the six-goal or so loss to the Gold Coast.
Yes.
Gold Coast, by the way, led at every change.
Yes.
There was the long-promised resurgence or comeback that just never eventuated. Sadly, which of the younger brigade? Because you know, Paulson, for example, it was the first game I think I've seen him play.
Yes, and came in at late notice. You know, and it was an interesting selection core, wasn't it? It wasn't like for like. Cruiser came out of the team for Paulson, who's a small man.
Yeah,
I feel a bit for Cam Paulson because he had to battle a shoulder injury to last year. And had a pretty solid pre-season and then would have been given the call up at reasonably short notice. So somewhat of a baptism of fire for him.
Yeah.
But good on him, you know, another young player that will undoubtedly learn from the experience. You know, you talk about other players, perhaps, well, Charlie was probably the man that probably looked like it for us up forward for most of the afternoon. He's a, you know, that's just raw talent with Charlie and a kid that's still finding his feet but certainly looks the goods. And I probably dips him a little bit to Cam O'Shea, who's not a young fella by any stretch, but in his first game for the club I thought, you know, was pretty solid in his performance for the team. So, we didn't have too many good players, I think it's fair to say, the weekend, but as I say, the education, I guess, that is taken from that will hopefully augur well for the players that were part of that disappointing result. Because I think really, Tone, with the exception of a flurry in the third quarter, I didn't think we were really in it. And it was remarkable that we got to within two and a bit kicks. I think it was 13 points.
It was 9 points and then Plowman missed a set shot that he really should have got.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's not Robinson Caruso there.
Well, he's not.
On that day.
And if you look at it in that context, we probably flattered a little bit, I thought, on the scoreboard. What was it, 26 shots to 22?
Well, we beat them for inside 50s.
Yeah, well, that's where it's incredible, isn't it? But, we just couldn't find a way. But I just think, you know, Gold Coast, to their credit, really unbalanced the team from the first bounce. And we were playing catch-up for a long, long time.
And, you know, they had answers at both ends of the ground.
Well, they did.
And I don't know, did we not go a tall back line? Was that, we seemed to have trouble outmarking them every time they went forward.
Yes, yeah, well, that's true too. Who do we have down there? Well, we, you know, I mean,
Marchbank
and Liam Jones. I mean, Liam Jones had his work cut out on Lynch. I think the issue was up the ground though. The ball seemed to come out too quickly and too easily. And I as good a player as Lynch is, I think on the rebound, you know, had those opportunities been afforded most players, I think they would have cashed in.
Yeah.
The ball came back pretty quickly. We just weren't able to counter that quick kick into an open forward line for Gold Coast. So, You know, that means that perhaps the pressure up the field needs to lift and the intensity needs to lift enormously. And hopefully that will jolt Mark Murphy and his men into action Friday night. Can't come quick enough either, Tony.
All right. Well, we're going to preview that, as I said, in a minute. But, Tone, you have, unless there's any other observations you want to make, but you're going to give us... you've got the difficult job of finding the 3-2-1 votes for the game against Saturday's game against Gold Coast.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the name one name beginning with Z might feature there.
Well, yes, I thought you're referring to Zach.
Yep.
Of course, good little player,
yeah.
And it's great to see him playing up the field. They obviously, you know, rate him as a future bona fide midfielder.
Yeah,
although he has got the capacity to go forward. He has a glorious left foot kick,
yeah.
You know, the Johnston-esque left on the run.
Oh,
it's magnificent,
yes,
to see. But, yes, Tone, I did sneak Zach into the votes. I actually gave him two votes. I gave one vote to Cam O'Shea. I thought performance, pretty solid performance, and all power to him.
Yeah.
Had the opportunity to speak to him after the game, and... A pretty dedicated athlete, no frills player that, you know, really, I like the cut of his jib. I think he was pretty solid. I gave three votes to Caleb Marchbank. I actually thought Caleb was pretty good. I love the way that he has his capacity to intercept. I like the way he can get across and really thwart an opposition attacking thrust. And I thought... It was hard to pin votes on too many players. I thought those were probably the players that best stood out for Carlton at the weekend. My only other comment, Tony, relates to the roof. I mean, there's been plenty of discussion, debate about it, but, you know, when you've got light and shade, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Everyone has to adjust their eyes.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the viewing public aside... what it must mean for the players.
Oh.
You know, that you saw that giant leap of Gala.
Gala, that was magnificent.
Now he was looking right into the sun there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, has the sun cost him a car?
Good point.
You know, you'd argue the toss there, because it was such a great leap. You know, he did all the hard yards and just couldn't haul it in.
Vertical, by the way.
Yeah. So you do question that. And now you're hearing criticism from all quarters. You know, the coaches were lambasting the call last night. Players aren't, you know, comfortable with it. And supporters and the, you know, television viewing public basically don't like having to adjust, you know, when the play switches quickly as it does from light to shade.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a no-brainer, isn't it? Just shut the roof.
Well, you would think just...
Leave
it on for every game or leave it open for every game. But,
pretty simple.
Surely the vote of everyone listening to the two tones today and certainly you and me, Tone, would be to shut the bloody thing and let's have more Carlton Marks of the Year. We still missed out, you know, another Indigenous player of ours missed out on Mark of the Year. Let's not get into that.
No, we let's not go there. But sanity must prevail with the roof, Tone, or I'm going to end up like Ken Bruce and go completely mad.
Okay, right. Tone... well, we look forward to a round three clash against perhaps Carlton's oldest, bitterest rival.
Yes.
Collingwood, it is Friday night. It is a home game for the Blues. That is good news for our bottom line at the very least.
Well, of course. We want to see, you know, numbers out in force. You know, as you say, Tone, the arch enemy on the home of football, the ground that we own come September, recent Septembers, but traditionally we do.
Yeah.
We've got question marks, obviously, over Matt Cruiser and Matt Kennedy. Will they come up? Well, let's hope so. Or if particularly Cruz doesn't, you know, where does that place Lobb or Phillips? Are they in contention? So a lot of questions to be addressed there. Collingwood also have their issues.
Yes.
You know, Darcy Moore gone for a month, and we saw that sickening compound fracture of the leg to that young fellow at the goalpost at the
which I didn't think would be possible in this day and age. But
with the padding,
yeah,
no. But I did hear the Geelong coach Scott saying that even given the padding, and they are really solidly padded. That injury just goes to show the velocity at which players are travelling.
Yes.
An injury like that can happen with so much padding around the goalpost. So when you look at it that way, you realise the how under the pump players are and the physical demands that are imposed upon them. You know, it's there's nothing easy about running out there and having a leisurely kick like I used to tone in my halcyon days up at Wiri Alec. But it's serious stuff and a shocking injury. You know, you don't want to see that to any player.
I wish them all the best.
Yes,
because that's season ending, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. Like it's a horrible.
Let's be honest.
And you know that's a sort of injury that potentially finishes off careers too.
Wow.
You know, you hope that.
Because it was his right foot.
Well,
or
that's
right,
right
leg, sorry.
Well, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So you just hope that, you know, everything works out okay for that young fellow. Horrible, horrible incident. We don't want to see that
but
at all.
But it does mean Collingwood bring back. They've got a number of options.
Yes.
Elliot is
Reed,
to come back.
Reed is in the mix.
And
Mason Cox, the American.
Yes.
American Pie.
And who's the kid who got done on drink driving?
Oh, yeah, I think he's another week. Dugowie?
He's been talked about coming back. So if he
my
does
mail
drink
was
out of
through the VFL,
Cup,
Tony.
What's that?
My mail was that he, or is that he's coming back through the VFL.
Okay.
Do you think they might shock the football world and call him up?
Well, but more importantly for us, as far as the two tones are concerned, Tone, the selection table is going to be a very interesting place to be this week at Princes Park.
Yes.
Who do you see going in? Who do you see going out? Because there has to be some changes to the team list, you'd imagine, in order to,
the team
that's fielded.
Yeah, the problem is that the reserve grade team lost by about 5 goals to Port. So I don't know that there's too many banging on the door, literally. And I mean, the coach has made a point for some time now that players will be played only on form.
Yeah.
So form alone would warrant inclusion of players into this senior team. And, of course, as I said, with Cruiser and Kennedy, you know, if they're available, well, that's obviously going to impact on selection. You would think both of those players fit would be returned straight back into the team. So, yeah, there are a few machinations that I suppose are at play here. Time will tell.
What do you do with Wiedering?
Well, look, I think perhaps the answer to that question came leading into the Gold Coast game where the selectors acted on Jack Silvani.
Yep.
Now, Jack had a bad one, you know, the opening round against Richmond. Went back, kicked 3 in the twos, as every good player should.
Yeah.
Did a few things differently, worked on areas of his game, and obviously reaped rewards. So I suspect with whether it be Wiedering or whether it be Simpson or whether it be whoever, it won't matter. Form will warrant selection. And I think we're the nice thing about the Carlton model 2018 is that there'll be no free games. I heard Sam Doherty refer to free games being allocated, you know, in the not too distant past, where players were called up, perhaps not having warranted selection based on their form. Well, I think the bar's been raised, and form alone dictates selection. And form alone will warrant retention in the senior team. So if it's determined that Jakob is better off for a run in the twos just to get his form and confidence back, so be it.
Yeah.
So be it. I'm sure the coach won't play favourites, and if the call has to be made, he'll make it. So, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's, you know, there's competition for spots. That's what we want, and we want our good players in form and cherry ripe, ready to go come the weekend in the next game.
Now, you know, if you're a Carlton supporter who's followed the last 17 years with varying levels of dismay and false dawns, let's say. Carlton
losing. I've counted every one of those 17 too.
Well, you know, we ride every bump, you'd like to think. But Carlton went in short odds favourite to win against Gold Coast and didn't. Are we condemned to following what I'm loath to describe as a mercurial team, Tone, in that I have every confidence Carlton will beat Collingwood. I'd feel it in my waters. Big game, MCG, traditional rival. with a sort of team now that, you know, it's just hard to kind of second guess, because we fall over against a team we're fancy to beat, and then we come up against Collingwood, who are playing well, but just something tells me that we have it in us to knock them over in front of hopefully a big crowd.
Well, look, history, recent history would suggest we'll be up for the game. I mean, you don't have to go back too far to remember what happened when the Black and White celebrated their 125th anniversary. And,
yeah.
You know, party poopers extraordinaire here.
What a game.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
In saying that, I went into the Gold Coast match with every confidence in the home team doing the job, and perhaps I underestimated Gold Coast to my peril. They look really good, and you would think they're going to be, you know, thereabouts. So if they play like that, so look, Tony, it's probably just as well that as an official of the club that I'm not permitted to gamble on or wager on games, because I think I'll be bloody hopeless at it. To tell you the truth, I can't read, you know, the tea leaves that you go into it to any game, really. You go in with a fair degree of confidence in your team, and then, you know, you come away scratching your head. But you'd like to think that this week on the end of what was by and large a disappointing showing against Gold Coast, that the players find it within themselves to come back hard, and we just need a kickstarter. And I think if we can get that first win on the board, then we move on with some degree of confidence. And, well, let's hope it happens, you know, Friday night, Tony, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely, Tom. We will, of course, be there. We mentioned Cruz before. What's the... And mind you, this is following you saying you're not allowed to be a betting man, but what do you say the chances of Cruz coming back?
Well, look. I'd imagine they'd be pretty strong. Was it a short week leading into the Gold Coast game? It may have been. Maybe they thought that they just needed to, be conservative.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the number one ruckman. You wouldn't, run the gauntlet with him if he's not fit. So, look, you'd like to think there's every chance he will return. I suppose there's a couple of training sessions to be had leading into Friday night, and that all will reveal itself through the course of the week. You just have to hope that he's up and about and he's ready to go, because he's such an important part of the Carlton team, no doubt about it. And Kennedy too, I think, just with his size and strength and presence, is invaluable around the contests. And when we reflect on that Gold Coast game, we have said that we were really hit hard, weren't we?
Yeah.
And the loss of someone like Kennedy.
His
physical presence can't be underestimated. We need them both.
This is a bit left field. Alex Silvani, where's he at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think that's another player that's sort of been battling nagging leg injuries for a little while. And, I'm a bit like you. I'm a bit of a Alex Silvani fan.
Yeah.
And we just want to see him up and about. And I'm sure if he was up and about that he would come into serious calculation, just because of the way he plays. He's that hard nut that we need up the back. And he's an old head too.
Yes.
Just someone with his nous and experience is perhaps just what the doctor ordered. And look, I don't know what the time frame is on Alex Silvani, but I just hope it's sooner rather than later, because in the games that we've seen him participate, he's been fabulous, and I think he's earned a lot of friends just because of the hardness, the way he uncompromisingly attacks the footy, and his experience is invaluable. We need his like.
Well, speaking of the back line, and let's say I don't know, old heads in the background in the back line, Sammy Rowe has made a successful return to the VFL.
Well, that's another good story, and again, Sammy's one fellow that who until he broke down was really stringing games together, it's amazing, isn't it, when you think back to the story of Sam Rowe, and in many ways, that's the story of Liam Jones, because you know when Sam Rowe broke down, all of a sudden the space became available, and there was that masterstroke in putting Jones back to the last line of defence, and that effectively saved his career. I think that's what you want. When you lose a player, you know, you want crisis to create opportunity for another, and then what that effectively does is increase your depth. So if you reflect back, Tone, to when Sam Rowe went over that knee injury, you know, you can think back and say, well, if Sam Rowe didn't get injured, what would that have meant for Liam Jones?
Yeah.
Perhaps we would never have seen the renaissance of Liam Jones, and he would have been, you know, having a run out at Keel or somewhere. Yeah. So that's the vagaries of the game and where fate plays its hand. And but, you know, again, it gets back to my earlier point about the competition for spots. And if Sam Rowe's putting his hand up, well, then it's going to keep the likes of Liam Jones and all those players honest. And that's a healthy problem for Brendan Bolton and the match committee, I think.
I'm into that. Now, Tone, very quickly before we wrap up, how do we beat Collingwood?
Well, I think it starts with honesty around the contest. You know, we've lamented the way that we were under siege against Gold Coast and the pressure that was applied, you know, to the ball carrier. And so we have to basically emulate what Gold Coast did and bring our A game to the table. I think if we can do that, well, we're probably halfway there, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think that the players have to come out after that, you know, pretty disappointing performance, breathing smoke.
Yeah.
We've got to be ready for the first bounce. Collingwood are zipping too like us, so they'll be desperate. They're always big games. Collingwood will have probably gleaned a little bit out of that performance against GWS.
Yep.
They're in the game for a long, long time. So it's going to be a full-on contest, this, and we've just got to be ready. We've got to be ready, Tone. And it gets back to our work rate, our mindset, how we approach the game.
Elimination of basic skill errors.
Well, that's it. And all those cliches. But it's true. If we do the one percenters and do them right, well, we're going to give ourselves a massive chance of getting our first win on the board. And you know, we'll get a fair idea, from first bounce, whether or not the boys are on song. Let's hope they are.
Well, get on down there. Don't let last week's effort be the basis upon which you decide to go on Friday night. We would strongly urge you because Carlton, look, the team does it bounces back from games like that. It has a history, a track record of doing that. That is not who Brendan Bolton is. That is not who Carlton is. That is not who the that's not who the playing group is, we would like to think. So.
No, that's right. And Tone, while you're talking about it too, an impassioned call to the members and supporters. I think we got a good crowd
last week.
So all power to the supporters that did turn out and the members. It's exactly what we want. And I do believe, Tone, they know where this football club is headed. I think it's important that we get as close to a full house at the MCG Friday night as we possibly can, because it helps. It certainly helps, and I think that would be of enormous fillip to Murph and the boys to see a sea of blue out there lending support Friday night. So a great opportunity for all members and supporters to fly the flag and pack the joint, because, you know, that is our home. Historically, we know it is, and we want to pack it out.
Damn right. Well said. Thank you for that, Tony DeBolfo.
Pleasure, Tone.
Tony Moakley here signing off on behalf of Tony and myself, the Two Tones. It's been episode 4. It's been a delight to be with you. Thank you to our producer, Lucy Jamieson.
Thank you, Luce.
Fine Carlton pedigree in that name, of course. And we will catch you next week, hopefully dissecting Carlton's first victory for season 2018.